Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it's so good to be here, isn't it? Amen. And to be here by the Word. And of course, we've changed it up a little bit. We had been going for a while on the prayer services. And you say, why do we change? Because that's what I heard we're praying, to change. So I just do whatever God says to do. If He wants us to pray for the rest of our lives and just have prayer services, we will. But we endeavor to follow the Holy Spirit. You know, we're so thankful for that. And yeah, I'll tell you what a blessing it is being a Christian. And the Bible says God dwells on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, it's we ought to be the most, I heard one minister say this, the most intelligent people group on planet Earth. We have God on the inside of us. Amen. We ought to know things before they happen. Hallelujah. And if you'll stay in tune with some of those things, and we'll see in this series. But anyways, I'm excited because it's been on my heart for quite a while now, actually, to do a series on prayer. And I didn't know, you know, prayer is such a ginormous topic, and there's so many things that you can talk about when it comes to the subject of prayer. But I'm so thankful, like I was saying, about for the Holy Spirit, because I'm not an any, mini, miny, mo minister. What's that mean? Any, mini, miny, mo my way through the Bible, and wherever it lands, you know, we'll preach on it, or, you know, get a bunch of topics on prayer, and any, mini, miny, mo, and whatever it lands on, or, you know, pick out of a hat. You know, no, Lord, what do you want me to say? What do we need help on? And I'm so thankful when He speaks to me. That way I know you'll be blessed, because we're not here to hear from man, or who cares what I think or what I say or what I know. It's about what God wants said, and so I'm thrilled about it. But let's go ahead and turn. We're going to start, I guess you'd call it a golden text, or we're our launching point, but Luke chapter 18 in verse 1. Luke chapter 18 in verse 1. And let's pray and believe God before we get into the message. For help tonight. Father, we're just so thankful and so grateful for the opportunity to gather together around your word. Father, we believe that the Bible is your word, Father, inspired by you. And Father, it's been such a blessing to us. So many of us can say our lives are different when we started to do the word and started applying the word to our lives and our situations. And so we thank you that we're ever learning, ever growing, ever progressing in the things that you have for us. And Father, give me boldness tonight. Give me utterance to say the things that you want said. Father, may I open my mouth and speak as the oracles of God. Father, we don't need enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. So, Father, we thank you for the anointing tonight. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And Father, I thank you that this series, there's a purpose to this series. And the purpose, if the purpose is fulfilled, Father, the results that you want for us to go higher, to grow in you, to experience more of you will be a reality in our lives. And so may that be true for all of us. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. Well, in Luke 18 and verse 1, this is Jesus talking. It says, "And he," Jesus, "spoke a parable unto them to this end." And look what Jesus said, "that men ought always," that's mankind, not just man, "but mankind ought always to pray." And then look at what the result is of always praying: not to faint. Amen? Hallelujah. And so the Bible here tells us that something that we ought to be doing for a good result in our life, which is what? Not fainting, not falling by the wayside, not being overtaken. And I've learned this, that a lot of being a Christian with the enemy is just being able to outlast his attacks. You know, we have the victory. We have the victory. We are seated above the enemy, and he's under our feet. But how many of you know he's persistent, and he'll attack and attack and attack. But if we just stick with it, the Bible says, "He that endures to the end will be saved." You know, there's not anything he can get over on us if we'll do things God's way and stick with it. And a lot of times it's just sticking with it, you know, in that press, that fight of faith. And he tells us here that if we always are praying, and we're going to talk about praying, that the result will not be a lifestyle of fainting. It'll be actually, when we look at in prayer, it'll be a lifestyle of strength. It'll be a lifestyle of answers. It'll be a lifestyle of revelation. It'll be a lifestyle of not living in the dark. And so a lot of times these are reasons why we do faint. We're not strong. We are living in the dark. We're confused on things. And he says men ought always to pray. And so there's a great benefit in prayer. But if I were just to be honest, you know, I'm not necessarily saying the people that are in here. I'm just saying generally in the body of Christ, what I've experienced and talked with other ministers is that many know little about prayer. And a lot of times when it comes to the subject of prayer, many people have wrong thinking towards prayer. And maybe they're not comfortable with it, or they could be ignorant towards it. You know, things like, you know, I don't know how to pray, because he's telling you here that if we pray, we'll get a good result. But a lot of times people's prayer lives are really non-existent, or just, you know, real surface type prayers of maybe over your food, or like what Reverend Joel talked about at the Miracle Crusades, you know, just bedtime prayers, you know. And when I pray with my children at night before bed, and when they pray, you know, nothing against Caleb and Abby, but it's not the deepest of prayers, you know. It's, you know, thanking God that our dog plays ball with us, you know. I mean, that's a great prayer for how old, 8 or 9, what is she? 8. That's a great prayer for an 8-year-old, and I should have remembered that, because we were just talked about on Sunday, I think. But anyways, it's been a long time since Sunday, and I forgot my kids' ages again. But you know, for an 8-year-old, that's a good prayer. That thank God we have a dog that plays ball with us, you know. But and thanking God for things we have in our lives, you know, those are good things, and not, nothing wrong with it. But not really deep, you know. And people might think, well, I don't know how to pray, or you know, I'm not worthy to pray to God, or, you know, what if I'm doing it wrong? Like, what if I'm not praying right? Or does it really even matter that I'm praying? Is God even care? And, you know, a lot of those thoughts are just wrong thinking. But they're wrong thinking that I know a lot of times for myself in the past, and even now if I don't think right, it tends to put a divide between me and my Father. Because he's telling us in Luke 18, pray, and we're going to talk a little bit about prayer here, then the result will be so wonderful. But a lot of times we stay away from that place, and people can go days and people can go weeks without really praying, you know, maybe Father, bless this sub I'm about to eat, or thank you for this day, I'm going to bed now, you know. And it's not really, those aren't the prayers that are going to keep us from not fainting. Those aren't the prayers that are going to move heaven and earth and bring the power down and to get us to walk in life. And so a lot of times, because we're ignorant and we just don't know some things, or if we have wrong thinking, we'll tend to stay away from those things. And, you know, recently, just in the natural realm, I know for me that if there's things I'm uncomfortable with, if there's things I'm not so sure of how to do, I avoid them like the plague. I don't know, I'm in my nature and in my mind, I just instantly go to, I can't do that, I can't figure it out, just naturally geared that way, I guess. It's just wrong thinking. And one thing that's recently come up that I've started to dabble a little bit in is, you all know my affinity for bow hunting and deer hunting, well, is food plots now. And, you know, if you can control a deer's habitat, where they live, what they're drinking, what they're eating, and place for them to bed down, you can really get something going where you hunt, you know, and in a good place. And one of the things is food and providing deer the right food. And, you know, sometimes places where you hunt just doesn't have the right food. You have to manipulate the land by working the land, you know. And one thing I've dabbled in is food plots. But, you know, just to start off the bat, I'm not somebody with a green thumb. I don't really know how to use farm equipment. Not really much of a farmer, know how to do that. And so for many years, I didn't even want to go down that road, because I just was intimidated by it. It seemed hard. How in the world can I do this? But then I met somebody, and I was just so thankful. I met somebody who sells seed, and such a kind, caring gentleman who just wanted to see me succeed, wanted to help me, and just walked me through everything, the equipment, the prepping, the what to do with fertilizer and lime and tilling and disking and when to do it and how seed level. And he just made it so simple for me that it just like opened a door for me to want to go in it. And now I'm telling you, I got radishes and turnips on my property that we saw. They're huge. And I did that. And you go out and you look at the field, and I had one guy come, and he said to me, it looks like one of those food plots that you see on TV. I thought, I did that. I couldn't believe I did that, you know. But the only reason that I did that is because somebody showed me it's not that hard. There's a process and there is steps, but showed me how to do it and made it simple for me. And then I just did what they said, and I got great results. Well, same thing with prayer is that this has been on my radar for some time, and then about a prayer series, didn't know the direction, and then I got the direction, then I was just waiting for a release in my heart of when to preach it. But the purpose of this series, and I'm going to tell you right off the bat, is to just make prayer for what it is and to present it as simple as possible. Why? Because God doesn't want any of his children fainting. God doesn't want any of his children falling by the wayside and not receiving what he has for them. And a lot of times what we have from him or what we get from him will come in prayer, will come from that interaction, will come from that time. And if we stay out of that time, oh, it's going to be fainting is in our future, is what Jesus was saying. And so what I want to do in the purpose of this is to break down the barriers that keep people from that place of prayer. Because I know, I'm a pastor, I've been there. I know that the subject and just the idea of prayer can be intimidating to some people. But when you recognize and realize some of these things and see it for what it is and get maybe out of the ditch that you've been living in with this stuff and get back into the center of the road with the right thinking, just like me with those food plots, I was excited to go. I was like, okay, I know how to do this. I can do this. This is something I can do. It'll be the same thing with you when it comes to the subject of prayer. And I'll tell you, you know, when you have a good prayer life, life is better. Life is better. And so my heart is to simplify prayer. Now maybe, you know, a lot of this stuff will be so basic to you. That's the whole purpose of this, to get us all praying, to get us all in that mode, because I'm telling you, it will change your life. And it's my heart to make it simple, but it's also your Father's heart to make it simple. And so I want to start right off the bat. What is prayer? And it might seem so simple, but before I tell you what it is, I want to tell you what it's not and what it shouldn't be and what it's become for a lot of people. And because of that, it's squelched or put that fire out in people's lives. Prayer should not be a set of rules and regulations. Have you ever approached prayer that way and it's like pulling teeth, or it's like it's dry? It's like, you know, you have a mouthful of saltine crackers with nothing to drink. It's just like, blah, blah. It's just, you know, there's no life there. There's no flow there. Well, because we get legalistic at times and we get so rule oriented and we get so regulation oriented that it really prayer time ought to be a joyful time. Prayer time ought to be a time of refreshing. Prayer time ought to be a time of expectation, of hope, of excitement, of fellowship, of love, of communication. And a lot of times it becomes, of going through the motions. And I'll tell you, you can only keep that up so long before it's like, I don't want to do this anymore. It's not, you're not getting anything out of it. It feels like a waste of time. Nothing's happening. And so first and foremost, that's not what prayer is. Now, let me say this. Are there principles and guidelines that we learn and follow in prayer? Absolutely. There's no doubt. But this example came to me as I was meditating on this. You know, I loved playing baseball. And I mentioned early on, that was pretty much about the only thing naturally I was really good at and successful at. It came easy to me. And I practiced real hard because I liked it and was good at it and advanced, you know, pretty good in baseball. But how many of you know when you play baseball, you step onto the field and there's two white lines that go down the line from home plate, go all the way down to the right field, all the way down to the left field. Well, how many of you know that line is a boundary? That line is a regulation, and you have to play with inside the boundaries. And then even inside the lines, how do you feel? There's different rules and regulations. But the rules and regulations of baseball, or the boundaries of baseball, it never sucked the joy out of it because I was too engrossed and involved in the playing of the game. the rules and the regulations of baseball were just became like second nature, but the love of the game overshadowed all the rules and regulations, even though they were there. Well, it's the same thing in prayer. There's a main aspect of prayer that, yes, within prayer, there are rules. Not when I say rules, I mean guidelines to follow to have a successful prayer life. There's no doubt. But when you get so engrossed in exactly, and what we're going to start with tonight, what prayer is, those are just off in the distance. And you learn those things, and they don't become a legalistic weight around your neck. Right? It wasn't a legalistic weight around my neck knowing that when I run to first base, I have to stay within the baseline. It was there, but I'm just excited to hit the ball and run, you know, or the fact that you have to, whatever you have to do in baseball with strikes and balls, not, all that stuff just kind of came within the game, but the love of the game. And there should be a love in prayer and a joy in prayer that I want to bring forth that maybe has been sucked out of you because of rules and regulations that we want to help you with in this series. And so this is going to be a blessing to all of us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you about prayer. Go to John chapter 17. We're going to look at one of the prayers of Jesus, and I just want you to see this starting out. And again, tonight is very basic. We're starting at ground zero with this because we all need to get to a place, and we're all going to start at the same place and go there together. But I even believe for us, seasoned prayer people that, you know, we live for this stuff. You love it. It's going to refresh you. And it's going to be a blessing to you and rejuvenate and even tweak some thinking even so. But in John chapter 17 in verse 1, now I don't know that I'm going to read all the way down through verse 26. I might, and we just highlight certain things. But I want you to see this because this to me embodies what prayer is. And look at it says here, and I'm going to again stop during that time and emphasize things so you'll understand what I'm saying. But these words spoke Jesus when he lifted his eyes up to heaven and said, Father. Right there I want to stop. Father. When he's saying Father, he's denoting, I recognize I'm in a certain kind of relationship with you. That, notice this, it wasn't God Almighty. It wasn't some omnipotent being who we... No, it was just a relationship entrance into this prayer of Father. I love that. And throughout this whole prayer, we see this, and then after I'll tell you exactly, because to me it tells us and shows us what prayer is. It says, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify thee. He said, I know my standing with you. I know the relationship I have with you. As you have given him power of all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given. Now, I'm not even so much as interested in the contents of the prayer, but how Jesus approached prayer time. And this is life eternal, verse 3, that they might know that you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. You see that there again? This relationship. There's nothing rules and regulations about this. This is Jesus talking with his daddy. But verse 4, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, there it is again. No rules, no regulations, just Jesus and Dad, praise God. And you, O Father, glorify you with me with your own self and glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and you have gave them to me, and you have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever you have given are of you, for I have given unto them the words which you gave me. This is the basic context of this whole prayer, is Jesus just in a talk with his Father. And that is what I want to get across to you, is what is prayer? Prayer is communication with our Father. It's not meant to be to go in and to have a laundry list of rules and regulations and to check these off. No, it's to be a place, a space where we go and commune with Dad. Amen? Hallelujah. I love when my children come unto me to talk to me, there's nothing robotic about our relationship. There's nothing rules and regulations about our relationship, even though in our relationship, there are rules, right? They know they can't speak to me a certain way. They know they have to follow those. But it doesn't stop them when Abby will come up and jump up in my lap and curl up with me and just love on me. I love that. Or when Caleb just craves and seeks my attention, wants to be around me, and we interact and we talk. There's nothing rules that he's thinking in his head. Okay, I got to do that. Okay, no, it's just freedom to talk to Dad. And how many of us have had that robbed from us in our prayer life because it's become something that it's never supposed to be, and it becomes this just, it's like just weighty and not in a good way of dreading being there. And it's like, wait a second, what happened to just the fellowship? What happened to just the recognition that this is the time that we can commune with our Father? That's what prayer is meant to be. Amen? Hallelujah. And, you know, one thing that I think that we need to renew our minds to that people struggle with is prayer is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. What do you mean? Well, normally when you're talking and having a conversation with somebody, you're getting instant feedback, right? In the sense of you're hearing responses, you're seeing facial expressions, body language. Regardless, you're getting some kind of feedback, right? And our flesh and our mind likes feedback. But when you pray to God, we don't always get instant feedback because nothing about our relationship with Him has to do with goosebumps and feelings. Those things might manifest at times, but we walk by faith, not by feelings. And not by sight and things like that. And so there's times that, you know, we're in that communication with Him that it that gets lost on us and it becomes rules and regulations. No, bring it back to the love, the communication, the simple back and forth with Him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so when he's saying, I want to go real quick to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. That's what we're trying to say up here. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. After service, talk to me, okay, brother? Wait. No, brother, I appreciate you being here. We're glad you're here, but you can't interrupt me when I'm preaching, okay? At the end of service, I'll be so happy to talk to you and answer a question. That's great, but brother, I need you to be quiet or I'm going to have to ask you to leave, okay? Okay, we'll see you. Well, sir, I'd be happy to talk to you after, but you can't come into my church and interrupt me while I'm preaching. I wouldn't do that to you as well. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry about that, but let me address this real quick why I have to do that. You know, I would never just go into your business and try to run it your way, or to your house, try to run it your way. And I certainly wouldn't go into another man's house as a preacher and start just, you know, saying anything. Number one, I can't let anybody just say anything in this church because I have no idea what's going to come out of somebody's mouth. And I'll tell you, I've heard some crazy things come out of people's mouths before, and don't need to get into the kid's ears. Don't know he's good. You know, I don't know him from Adam. And so that's why we have to address that. And it's just plain flat out of order. And so I apologize. I don't want that to come off as being mean to him or anything, but hopefully we can talk to him at some other point. But anyways, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. It says this, but without faith, it is impossible. And that's why I started to trip up over my words, because he had his hand up for about 2 minutes. And I'm like, I know it's coming. Because if I'm not answering your hand, there's a reason I'm not answering your hand. And I thought, he's not putting a hand down. I know there's going to be conflict. And so I started getting confused. But now, which doesn't take much to confuse me. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Notice this. For he that cometh to God. Now remember, what's prayer? Communication. Coming to the Father, fellowshipping with Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So he's saying even the act of coming to Him to be able to commune, there's an act of faith there because you're coming to something you can't see. You're coming to something that's given you no instant feedback. And so it's an act of faith. And so we have to renew our mind to this, because if you go into prayer with human expectations, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Now, we're going to teach you in this, hopefully, depending on the direction we go, how we can hear from God. God doesn't want us to just have it be a one-way street. He gives us instruction in the Word of how to hear from Him, how to know what He's saying. But it's not like a human interaction where you go to Him and a voice comes out of heaven and you get body language. No, and you got to understand that it's by faith. You have to understand this whole thing, this whole crux of this whole thing is faith, something we can't see, something we can't, you know, put our hands on. And so you have to understand it's a faith act. But I want to show you a verse in John 11, 38. Jesus, how many of you know when Jesus was on the earth, God wasn't here with Him? Amen. And so Jesus, by faith, had to do these things as well. But I want to show you something that will help you in prayer. In John 11, 38, this is where Lazarus had died. And it says in John 11:38, it says, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself came to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto you that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from that place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, now this is what I love. Now this, if you'll get this revelation, it changes your prayer time. Because why? We go to prayer to someone we can't see, someone we're not hearing from right away. And the temptation is to think, I'm wasting my time. Nothing's happening here. Well, when Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven, now spiritually might have been, but naturally there was nothing for him to look at. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I knew that you heard me always. Look at this, two things he said. Father, I thank you that you heard me, and I know that you hear me always. What's Jesus saying? Even though I can't see you, even though I can't touch or feel you, even though I'm getting no natural feedback, I know that when I, as your son, seek you and go unto you in prayer, I am certain that you are hearing what I'm saying. Now, if you would get that revelation, and we can jump over to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. I know, simple stuff, but it'll help you. Renew your mind to this. Lord, you hear my, right? That's what that song's about. You hear my prayer. You answer me. Those words, if we would really think about what that really means, it is so incredible that the God of the universe, with the billions of people on planet Earth, when we, in that space, in that place of prayer, lift our voice, God's ear is in tune with what we're saying. That's amazing. It's incredible. And it says, this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, notice this, He hears us. Your Father hears you. How would that change your prayer life? If you really believed that when you cry out to Him, that when you go to Him, that when you have needs, you have questions, you have concerns, that He's not too busy, He's not distracted, that He's listening to you. Do you see how it changes? I mean, it makes me just want to go pray. You mean you hear me? You mean you're interested in me, Father? The God, the most important thing, the most powerful being of all time, you hear me? It makes me want to pray. But going forward here, again, we're breaking this down. What are we trying to do? We're trying to break down the walls. I'm sitting you down like the guy did at the seed shop. You can grow turnips, Mike. Radishes, you can do it. Clover, I'm going to show you how. Break down the walls for you so you can go out there and do it. The thing that I want to show you now that is so special to me and just so mind-boggling is that your Father doesn't just hear you out of obligation. He longs for that interaction. Now let me say it again. Your Father is longing for that interaction. He's not just up there and then he's like, okay, I told him I'd listen to him. What do you want? No, he's like, my child's speaking with me. My kid wants my attention. Amen. I'm going to show you in the Word. Hallelujah. This is what I want you to see, if you would understand this. Now think about what happened before Adam and Eve were created. The Bible says that the world was without form and void, and darkness hovered over the face of the deep. Well, how many of you know that God lives in heaven? It's perfection up in heaven. There's nothing lacking in heaven. There's nothing lacking. And so God decides to make mankind. God wasn't forced to make mankind. There was no other reason to make mankind except for the fact that God wanted to make mankind. But why did God want to make mankind? Go with me to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Now remember, God didn't need to do this. But in Genesis 1 and verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Hi, Abby. I love that kid. I wouldn't change one thing about you. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created them. And he blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, all that stuff that he said to them. Now, go with me to Psalms 8 and verse 4. You got to see how much your Heavenly Father thinks of you. It'll help your prayer life. Amen. Psalms 8 and verse 4. Says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visiteth him? Talking about creation. For you have made him a little lower than the angels. Now the translators got this wrong. That word angels in the Hebrew is the word Elohim, which means God. It says, you've made him a little lower than God. Because we know by the word, we're not lower than angels. Actually, angels are here to serve us, the Bible says. And we're redeemed and they're not. He says, he's made us a little lower than him. And has crowned him with glory and honor. Made him to have dominion over the works of your hand. He didn't give the angels dominions over the works of his hands. He gave us the dominion over the work of his hands. But what I want you to see here is that God made man in his own image a little lower than him. Now, why did God do this? What was God's original intention? And always remember this when you're studying the Bible. The law of firsts. When you see something for the first time, it's the intention of what God originally had for mankind, okay? So what did God really originally want for mankind? Well, go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, in verse 8. Now this is Adam and Eve in the garden, Genesis 3 and verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God. Now remember, this is before the fall. Things were different before the fall. But before the fall is God's intention. Before the fall is how God wanted man to live all the days of eternity. This is what God wanted. Okay, this is what God wanted for mankind. And they heard, now it's foreign to us now because we're after the fall. We're after, you know, the Spirit of God lived in the temple and now we're in the Holy Ghost age here. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That was God's intention. And look what it says here. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And look at the Lord God called unto Adam and said, Adam, where are you? Well, we know that they, and it said in verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. Notice he didn't say, I heard your voice in the garden and I hid myself because I never heard that voice before in my life. We never experienced it before in our life. This was a normal occurrence that God would walk and talk with his creation. Amen? God is in heaven without this thing called human beings, that this creation may be a little lower, and he, in his own genius mind and heart, wants to make a creation that he can fellowship with. God longs. Why? That's the main reason he made us. He didn't make us so Jesus could come and do it. That was a result of what happened. But the intention was fellowship, unbroken fellowship with him. Not a God that's thumbing his nose at you. Not a God that's standing on the platform and declaring how worthless and lowly you are. No, a God that says, I've made you a little lower than me, so the purpose in my image, so that we can fellowship, because I long and crave that. Hallelujah. How does that change prayer time? He hears us. Praise God. He hears us, not out of obligation, but because he longs for this. He wants it. He wants our attention. Amen. You know, she's picked up on it, how much I crave Abby's attention. And so she plays hard to get with me all the time because she knows Dad craves her attention. I crave to be around her. And so she gives me a hard time about it. But the point is, your father is longing for your attention. Praise God. Now, I'm not somebody that when, you know, I'm not wanted somewhere, that I go there anyways. Amen? If I know I'm not wanted, and obviously if something God would have me to do, that's different. But I'm saying, you know, you go to a party, you're not invited, whatever. You know, I'll give you the example. Pastor Tim and I, years ago, we went to a concert on Thanksgiving in Canada. At Massey Hall. And some of you are laughing because you know the story. Went to a concert at Massey Hall. And it's just him and I, you know. And this is, you know, years ago. We might have been still teenagers or just turned, you know, getting into college. I don't know. I can't remember. We were young. And there's a group of girls standing over outside the concert hall. And we thought, man, concert would be a whole lot more fun just besides him and I. So there's a group of girls standing there. And he knows I was always kind of the shy one and laugh or everything. He's like, I'll go get us some dates so we don't have to be alone at this concert. And this is no joke. He goes over there, and they're all standing in their group, and he stands like, let's sort of pretend these are the flowers or the girls, and he stands on the outside of them, and he's kind of just going like this back and forth. He's like, so, ladies, how's it going? And I'm watching the whole thing, and I kid you not, it was like he was a ghost, and they couldn't see him or hear him. They never even broke stride in their conversation, never even looked over, never even glanced at him. It was clear this group of women did not want anything to do with us two guys. Well, we knew, we got the hint, so we stayed away. Amen? Well, so many people are staying away from God and they don't understand that he's up there saying, come, come unto me. I want you right here. Amen? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. We'll look at just a few verses. Get rid of all that religion and, you know, stuff that's keeping you from praying. And that's what we'll talk about, like, things going forward in this, but I just want to break down the walls of your father. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And you know what, your pastor, if you've been with me long enough, what's this verse called? Heaven's invitation. Julie gets the gold star tonight. Hallelujah. Heaven's invitation. This is God forever inviting his creation. Hallelujah. And you know what I love about this verse? What is one reason we stay away from him? Let's be honest. What is one reason that we stay away from him? Because we're so aware of our shortcomings. So aware of our failures and our faults, right? So we stay away and we don't go into that place because maybe we didn't hit the mark that day, or maybe we talked wrong to our spouse, or weren't you know, at work, we got into it. And so we stay out of that. And he's saying, I'm inviting you in time of need. When you're struggling, when things aren't going good, I want you with me. Hallelujah. Remember in Genesis 3 when they said they hid themselves. Why? They were aware of themselves. And what do we tend to do when we're aware of ourselves? Hide ourselves from him. But we need to be more aware of him and what he thinks and how he views us. I'm not trying to be crude when I use this example. I'm just going to tell you from my old days of, you know, at the bars and drinking. You ever heard of beer goggles? Well, yeah, how many of you know there's certain people in the world you're attracted to and certain people in the world you're not attracted to? It's just normal human being things. They're not every person you think's good looking, and some find that aren't, you know. But man, when you would put the beer goggles on, my goodness, the place got a lot prettier. Again, I'm not trying to be crude. It's the truth. And you don't see things clearly, right? And I always say this, that with the way God looks at me, he put the blood goggles on. And he doesn't see me, he sees me through the blood. He doesn't see me for who I am and my faults and failures. No, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that I would become or be made the righteousness of God. When he looks at me, he sees his child who's been made righteous in the image of him. He doesn't see mess up Mike and failure this and that. He's got the blood goggles on and all he sees is Jesus cleansed me. But we don't go to him that way, and we're like Adam and Eve, and so we stay out of his presence. So forgive me for that reference, but I think you got the point. I think you got the point. Hallelujah. Now, go with me just a couple more verses just to renew our minds. So go to 1 John 1 and verse 3. These principles, if you'll get them in you, change your prayer life. Just make you want to fellowship with him. Just make you want to love on him. To know that he's not up there angry. To know that he's not up there judging you. To know that he's not up there. You know, some people you have to really walk on eggshells with. Right? You ever, you know, when you feel like anything you say, it's like, that's not who your father is. Like, he's just up there nitpicking every single thing. And no, he loves you so much. Holy cow, he loves you. 1 John 1 and verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declaring to you, that we also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship, you know what fellowship means? Communion. Is with the Father. And with his son, Jesus Christ. That's put in there, inspired by the Holy Ghost. And he's saying, I want your fellowship to be with me. That's what he's saying. God is saying, you got to renew your mind to this. Because our mind thinks he's way up here, we're way down here. And he's so far away, and we're so small, and he's so angry, and he's so perfect, and we're so not. No, he's saying, you're my child, I love you, just come unto me. I want to spend time with you. I want to pour into you. Praise God. See, we're just going to make prayer simple. And we're going to just start praying, praise God. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. Oh, I love this. When you look at the Word through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, it shows you different things. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. That means always pray. Well, you can look at that through two different perspectives. You can look at it through the religious perspective of, oh my gosh, what a requirement, I have to pray all the time. Or you can look at it through the love perspective where God is saying, pray all the time. What's he saying? I want you with me all the time. Because that's what prayer is. It's in that space with him. He's saying, do it all the time, please. He's not saying it from the standpoint, you have to pray all the time. That's not what he's saying. Whether you pray all the time or don't pray all the time, he already proved that he loved you by making you and giving you Jesus. I look at that verse and I hear him saying, oh, he wants me around. Pray without ceasing. What's that mean? When you're missing it, when you're struggling, when things are going great, when you're knocking out of the park spiritually, when you're striking out spiritually, just come to me all the time. Oh, we have to start seeing our Father through the eyes like this. Praise God. John 14 and verse 16, almost done here. And tonight we're going to pray, and we're not even going to pray in tongues. We're going to pray in English, and we're going to pray based off the revelation and truth that we've learned. And I'll just tell you right when we start to pray, you know, things that you'll hear me pray, but to talk to him about, just to start breaking down these walls. John 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So it's talking about the Holy Spirit. But what do we know about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. God is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God, and God is Jesus, three in one, the Trinity. Hard for our minds to comprehend that, but it's truth. He says, the Spirit of truth the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you. And notice this, and will be in you. One verse says that he'll come to make his abode with you. God moved out of the box in the temple when the veil was torn in the temple, and Jesus says, it is finished. He moved out of the temple, the Spirit of God, and he moved into people. That's how much and how fond God is of you. He wants to live with you. Hebrews 13:5 says, I'll never leave you. What's he saying? Just want you to know I'm not going anywhere. Just want you to know I'm going to be here always. Right? Just want you to know I'm going to always be here. Never going to leave your side. I love that. Why is he saying, him declaring that I'm never going to leave you, I'm going to live with you, just shows his longing to be with you. Amen? Hallelujah. So I encourage you, if you're struggling in your prayer life, go back to this message. Go back to these scriptures and see the longing of your Father, the fact that he created you, the fact that it's communication with him, that he's just so wanting this for you. And then as we go forward in the next 3 weeks, we'll just see where the Holy Ghost leads us, but we're going to come out of this with a more dynamic prayer life, a more vibrant, lively, Holy Ghost flowing prayer life, not obligation, not rules and regulations, but bringing the life back to some things. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love for us, for the word tonight. Father, I pray and I hope that everything was communicated the way that you wanted it, Father. That's my heart's desire. It's not to have a good service. It's to fulfill your plan. But Father, my heart tonight is to just show people that there's such a joy. There was such a joy for me in the playing of baseball that the lines didn't matter. The rules didn't matter. Those were all there, but it was just about, and there should be such a joy in prayer where it's not about the clock. It's not about time. It's not about the rules. It's just about being with you. And in that space, by faith, we're with you, and you're actually attentive to us. So, Father, I'm thrilled to be talking to you right now. I'm thrilled to be able to pray with you with such wonderful people here in a minute. But, Father, before we close the service, I can't stop because I don't know everybody in here, and I don't know everybody watching online. I want everybody to be able to come in fellowship with you. And, Father, there's an idea in the world that every person is a child of God. And I know the world says that, and Hollywood says that, and the media says that. But that's not what the Bible says. Father, you are creator of all, but you're not father of all. You said in John chapter 1 and verse 12 that to the ones that have made Jesus the Lord of their life, those people have the right then to be called the children of God. So if you're here tonight, if you're watching online, I first want to tell you that I'm not going to embarrass you. This is private. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to have you come forward. I won't have you stand up and say anything on your own. This is between you and God. But if you can say to yourself, I don't know that I'm a child of God. I mean, I've gone to church. And going to church is great, but that doesn't get you in a relationship with God just the same as staying out of church can't keep you from one. Well, I've been a good person. Well, being a good person doesn't get you as a child of God, or, you know, I've been a bad person, I haven't done everything right, and that's can't keep you from his love either. Jesus is the measuring line. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And so if you're here tonight, if you're watching online, you could say, you know what, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I don't know that I would go to heaven. I would hope I would. Or, man, let's get you off that fence of eternity and get you saved. You're not committing to this church. You're just, the only declaration you're making is that I believe in him. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, is there anybody here tonight that you want to make a commitment to the Lord? Again, you're not joining this church. You don't even have to ever step foot in this place again. Or if you're watching online, you don't have to come here. But I want to see and make sure that you're heaven bound and that you can enter into this relationship with the Father. And it all starts with Jesus and the cross. So heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior tonight, would you just lift your hand in the air and I'll have you put it right back down. Where, again, no, not embarrassing anyone. I think it was two Sundays ago or something, we had six people receive Jesus and praise God. And so none of them were embarrassed. None of them, eyes were closed, everything. So if anybody want to receive Jesus before we close the service, just lift your hand in the air. We'll just all pray together. And anybody? Father, I don't see any hands here, but if there is anybody in this service or watching online right now, and of course I wouldn't be able to see their hand, it's not the hand raising that gets you saved. It's the declaration, the belief in Jesus. And so if you're here watching now or in the future via the archive, all you have to do is cry out to him. Again, he's listening. And all you have to do is believe in him. Jesus said, if you believe on me, you'll not perish. And he said, I don't even know where to start. What would that even sound like? Well, it would sound like this. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again, and I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll pray that, God will do his part. He'll become a father unto you, and he's turned his attentive ear towards you and his giving, generous hands your way. He loves you so much. And if you pray that in private, send me an email, give me a phone call. That information's on the website, and we'd love to help you in your next steps. And so we're just going to take a little bit of time here, not a whole lot of time, but a little bit of time to pray. And I want you to pray from this new platform, from this, maybe not a new platform, but a renewed mind platform of right now. Just think about this. Right now, your Father in heaven is so excited because he knows his kids are about to talk with him. You say, well, what do I talk to him about? Well, how about just thanking him that he's a loving dad? How about just telling him you love him? Thank you for saving me. Just talk to your Father. So let's just go ahead and pray. And I always like to start with praise and worship. So, Father, I know you're listening. Hallelujah. I know you're attentive right now, that you are thrilled, that you long for this interaction. So, Father, here are we. We love you, Lord. We love you. We thank you that, Father, it's hard for us to imagine, but your ear is so attentive to each and every one of our voices right now. As if we were the only ones on planet Earth, you have that ability. Father, thank you for being you. I thank you this time's not about rules and regulations or the clock. It's just me as your son communing with my dad, my loving dad who cares about me, who sees me through the blood of Jesus, who knows I'm not perfect. You know I'm not perfect. You know I don't do everything right, but yet you love me so much. Father, thank you. I love you, Father. I praise you, Father. I glorify you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love and for your kindness. Thank you. Let's just heap some adoration onto him. What do I mean by adoration? Let's change it from maybe thanksgiving to worship, where you just start doting on him for his love, his power, his mercy, his goodness, his kindness. Father, you are a great God. Father, you are magnificent. You are mighty. I love when my kids dote on me. I love it. I love when my kids think so highly of me. And praise God. Today I went into Abby's room and she was laying there resting before service and I had just gotten dressed and she has a full-length mirror in there and I looked in that and I said, how do I look, Abby? She says, Daddy, you always look handsome. I can't tell you what that did, you know, when your children dote on you. Let's just give him that same love. Father, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. Lord, I'm changed after tonight. Never going to be the same. Never going to be the same in my prayer life until a whole new perspective, Father. And I do ask you to forgive me for the times where I've made it hard, where I've made it as some religious thing where there's been no heart involved in it. And you know, I've had my daughter say stuff like that to me, and then I've had her with her playing on her iPad with her headphones on, just tell me she loves me casually. And you know, it wasn't heartfelt and really didn't mean that much. Father, I'm sorry for those times. In those times, you were just on the edge of your seat, just wanting my attention. And Father, there's times, I admit, I've prayed out of obligation. I've prayed just to pass the clock by. I've prayed, but Father, I'm changed tonight. It isn't about religion anymore. It isn't about ritual. It's about relationship. Does anybody feel changed after tonight? Just like there's a weight that's been lifted, that there's a newness. Oh, Father, I love you, and I'm just excited to spend time with you. On my way home tonight, I'm just thrilled to spend time with you, Father. I love you and praise you. Thank you for these revelations. Thank you for these truths, Father. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you're for us. Thank you that you love us. We give you the praise. We give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. And you know, we might pray longer as the series goes on, but tonight was just about breaking down walls and renewing things. I can't wait to get in my truck and just fellowship with him again. Just knowing how much he wants it, how much he likes it, how much he cares, and that he's not up there saying, yeah, but this. No, he's just like, bring it on. Hallelujah. Well, I sure love and appreciate all of you. Don't forget, Sunday morning, 10, be thinking about your prediction. Who do they play? The Chiefs. Oh, that's not going to be good, Buffalo fans. I'm telling you, it's not going to be good. But anyways, that's just a little tip from the insider up here, and if you want to win. But love you, appreciate you. We'll see you Sunday. You are dismissed.